Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Daniel Lurie, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. A special Saturday night, Sunday morning edition of the podcast because the Warriors had that strange game in Sacramento where they ended up losing in overtime 109-106. And what made this game different to me, I talked about this a little bit in my piece on The Athletic, is not so much that the Warriors lost, though the way they lost was certainly weird, but that this game was close at all for the most part, because a lot of different players had a lot of struggles in this game. Draymond Green, it looked like he was going to be out, you know, at least for the rest of this game when he went down at the very end of the second quarter. Durant did not make a jump shot in this game. I believe that's the first time it's happened as a Warrior, probably the first time in a lot longer than that. And yet, despite all of that and a really rough stretch at the beginning of the second quarter, they were still close enough where they could and arguably should have won this game. Not a big deal in the scope of everything, assuming things go the way that I expect moving forward. They weren't going to break the 73 wins record anyway. They're still overwhelming favorites to have the best record in the NBA. And that's really kind of where I ended up thinking about this game, beyond how strange it was that it was strange that it was close. Sacramento has been inconsistent recently, especially since Rudy Gay went out, just generally speaking. And they had some really nice moments in this game. They, you know, DeMarcus Cousins had a great first quarter. He was 5 of 7 from the field, had 7 rebounds and 3 assists just in the first quarter alone. But the stretch that really swung the game to me and will almost definitely be lost in the shuffle of the craziness that followed was the beginning of the second quarter. Beginning of the second quarter, Cousins played the full 12 minutes of the first, so he had to sit out. The Kings were playing a backup-heavy group, including Willie Cauley-Stein at center, because Kosta Koufos played too much of the first quarter, so Cauley-Stein was out there as the only center. The Warriors, still without Zaza Pachulia and David West, decided to have James Michael McAdoo in there, and Willie Cauley-Stein absolutely smoked James Michael McAdoo in that second quarter. He had 12 points on 6 of 8 from the field. Cauley-Stein does not have moves. He just outran him. He was shifty on a couple different plays, got some alley-oops, and, you know, he did well on other guys too, but McAdoo was the biggest offender in that way. And the Warriors gave up the lead. They had a 4-point lead at the end of the first quarter, and without Cousins on the floor, I believe it was a 6-point swing, or 15-10. Actually, I think it was 15-10 before Cousins came in. They gave up the first, I think, 6 points of the quarter to swing it in that sense. And that was representative of a lot of this game, that the Warriors had some advantages and were not able to maximize them. But then also, in that second quarter, despite struggling for most of it, they were able to push a little bit late and tie the game. And they had some ridiculous shots in there. Klay hit a couple of crazy ones. Steph hit a couple of crazy ones. And that happens. You know, the Warriors end up having those from time to time. And that same general arc happened again in the third quarter, but in a very, very different way. What the big swing, maybe of the entire game, definitely the most intense moment of the entire game, was when Kevon Looney got called for 2 specious fouls on consecutive possessions, one trip down the court and then the other. Got called for a shaky defensive foul, I believe it was on DeMarcus Cousins, and then on the way down, he got a nice tip dunk over Ben McLemore, and they called him for an offensive foul. It was a terrible call. The second one. The first one was shaky, but, you know, this is the sort of thing that refs can call. The second one was absolutely abysmal. It was a terrible call, and it got the bench really riled up. It got Kerr really riled up. And then what set Kerr off, actually, was Draymond Green being called for a technical. And while you can't tell everything from broadcast, I was not there live tonight, it certainly looked to be specious for a Draymond Green technical. And that, maybe as much as anything else, absolutely set Kerr off. And Kerr, as he said after the game, he earned his ejection from this game. He went off. You can see the video. It while I'm not the best lip reader in the world, I'm pretty sure I can tell what he was mouthing to the refs at that point. He deserved to be ejected. He was ejected. And the bigger impact, maybe, I mean, it certainly fired up the team, of course, and they came back again and tied it. But that whole thing was a 6-point swing, because originally it was going to be Kevon Looney getting 2 points on the tip dunk. Then those got taken off the board. Ben McLemore had 2 free throws because the Warriors or the Kings were in the bonus. And then they got 2 technical fouls, one on Draymond, one on Kerr, but it was a one technical ejection. And DeMarcus Cousins made both of those. So instead of being +2 for the Warriors, it was +4 for the Kings. And again, as I said, the Warriors came back and tied it after that, but it was digging another hole. It raised the difficulty level in the game, and the game was also, you knew at that point, it was going to be called a little bit closer down the stretch. And the big reason that I, in my opinion, that the game stayed close and that the Warriors had such a good chance to win despite having shaky performances from so many guys was Draymond Green's defense was excellent for a vast majority of this game. He missed some time at the very beginning of the third quarter when he was still dealing with, I believe it's being called a contusion right now, and the Warriors immediately gave up 6 quick points to the Kings in 2 minutes, and then he came back and it swung it. The Warriors only allowed 91 points per 100 possessions when he was on the floor. They didn't score very well, but they didn't score well when anybody was on the floor. And Green was also, he was present for some of the Warriors' worst offensive stretches at the beginning of the second. I believe he was on the floor at the beginning of the fourth as well. And they just, those lineups, especially when Durant is out and sometimes Klay is not out there with that group too, they just struggle to generate good shots. And I am still skeptical of that combination as opposed to the Durant-led one, even though the second unit had a nasty habit of letting Durant do everything. That was still better than a lot of what that group works for, but also just because they're missing David West so much. West is a good passer. He moves the ball well. He can shoot, and McAdoo is not that guy. So some of that will resolve, and when one of Pachulia or West comes back, the Warriors can get closer to a normal rotation. So maybe JaVale's in for that point, depending on who comes back first. Maybe, you know, you could do it a couple different ways, depending on which player is back first. But that's not going to be a part of the playoff rotation. It doesn't concern me much in terms of the long-term arc of the team or anything like that. So I think the takeaway from this game is that it was an entertaining, anomalous one-game thing. And a lot of different guys struggled. While he was only credited with 3 turnovers, I thought Klay had a really shaky game with his control of the ball. Most of that was early as opposed to late, but it all matters. And Curry had a few bad passes. He had one look ahead where DeMarcus Cousins was right there and they would have had a 3-on-1 break. He forced it there. A couple of other bad turnovers by Durant, including one where he got doubled and missed Andre in the close corner, not even in the far corner. He missed Andre in the close corner, and that would have, just not turning the ball over would have been a big help there. So you don't want to read anything too much into that. Teams have bad games. Most teams can't be as close to winning them when they play poorly and when almost nobody has a good game. I would say Curry and Draymond had good games, but not so dominant that it was enough to carry the day. And Boogie struggled a lot late due to Draymond's defense, but had enough in that first quarter. And another thing that I wanted to mention on this is that Curry's defense in that fourth quarter was pretty bad generally. It was nice on the last possession of the fourth quarter when he opportunity hopped onto DeMarcus Cousins because he realized Boogie wasn't going to pass the ball. But for the most part, they were just running high pick and roll, knowing that Curry couldn't switch. And he was being caught in no man's land a lot. And Darren Collison may not be great at running an offense or reading a pick and roll all the time, but he can hit open shots. And he certainly did that through stretches of this game, especially some mid to deep twos. And that helped the Kings get a little bit of offense when they weren't getting much in many other ways. And what was frustrating about that stretch from a tactical perspective, again, Kerr was not on the sideline. He was in the back because he got tossed, but you still have the whole rest of the coaching staff, including Rod Adams, who does a lot of the defense, was that Sacramento does not have many other players capable of doing a lot with the ball in their hands. McLemore, Aaron Aflalo, depending on what configurations they're in, Matt Barnes. So if Curry's having trouble handling a DeMarcus Cousins-involved pick and roll, take him out of the pick and roll. Put somebody else in there. Do a different situation. And the reason that's concerning is because the Warriors will be dealing with players and opponents that will make that choice for the Warriors a lot, and they need to be ready in the postseason to make the right call. And I said on Twitter, you know, that in my opinion, Brown should have at least considered pulling Kobe or Curry for a defensive replacement on the last possession of regulation. I fully knew that he was never, ever, ever going to do that because Stephen Curry is Stephen Curry. But the reasoning was there, and it ended up being that the play didn't go back to Collison, though it certainly could have. And the issue that had permeated that fourth quarter was still there. Again, I knew it wasn't ever going to happen. That's a separate point. But the situation, just identification of what your problems are, reacting to it and putting players in that situation and changing the dynamics so that the other team can't create an advantage. And it's very different for a team like the Kings that does not have as many options than for the Rockets or the Spurs or the Cavs, who have a lot of other good players. You can defend the Kings a little bit more rigidly, a little bit more creatively, just putting players in weird spots because the other guys aren't going to beat you. And most teams don't develop that kind of flexible strategy in a regular season game because you don't have the time or the energy to do it. But when the situation presents itself, it's especially considering the switch basically would have been Steph and Clay. For the most part, they've done that enough that it would have been good. Not a big deal, not anything massive in any way, but still interesting and something I wanted to talk a little bit about because it is worth monitoring moving forward. Last point, Patrick McCaw got the minutes again as the two guard off the bench. Ian Clark did not play at all in this game. Briante Weber, the new addition, did not play at all in this game. Thought McCaw looked fine. Nothing too significant either way. Made some nice deflections and steals, but nothing too earth-shaking, and he has played well enough that he deserves to have that role. There is still a place for Ian Clark on this team, not only in the case of injury, but also just situation-specific when the Warriors need someone with his skill set as just a catch-and-shoot guy who can defend some guys better than McCaw can, I guess, just because he has a little bit... I think he has a little bit more heft. Not much. They're both small. But there are circumstances where Ian Clark is going to need to get his number called. And even some circumstances like when Livingston was out where they played both of them together. So it'll work out. But another strange game. Probably have something tomorrow night. Something short again. And then the Warriors will actually be off Monday and Tuesday before playing on Wednesday against the Chicago Bulls. And then going to on that road trip where they go to Memphis and Oklahoma City before everything with related to All-Star and everything else like that. So we'll have plenty of good episodes, plenty of good stuff to talk about. I am actually working on the math for Kevin Durant now that the CBA is out in terms of what his choice is going to be and what that means for the Warriors. So tentatively, that'll be the Tuesday night podcast. I don't think I'll have it done in before that, just depending on how long it takes for me to get all the math done because I want it to be rock solid when I put that piece out. So if you have any feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com. At Danny LaRue on Twitter, DannyLaRoux. If you take the time to write, I will take the time to read it. I do appreciate that. If you want to support the show, leave a rating, leave a review, subscribe, download every episode. Great thing to do. Love for you to listen to every episode, but downloading is very important as well because that's what metrics are based on. So thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.